If last year's September headlines were about that ice bucket challenge, the conflict in the Ukraine, Scotland's vote to remain in the United Kingdom, and the savage killing of an American journalist by ISIS, this year, almost daily, we are hearing and seeing the headlines about the Republican poll numbers. Is anyone trumping Trump? Joe Biden's emotional decision whether to run or not, Friday's stunning loss by Serena Williams, and of course, most tragically, the story of the biggest refugee crisis in Europe and the Middle East since World War II. In the face of this refugee crisis, this enormous human drama, which could really continue to unfold, they say, for months, if not years to come, I think we have to say that Pope Francis gets it. He gets the gospel. Perhaps some of you read or heard his words. He said, "In the face of the tragedy of tens of thousands of refugees fleeing death in war or hunger, and who are journeying towards the hope of life, the gospel calls us, the gospel asks us to be near the littlest and the abandoned." And then he offered this challenge: may every parish, every religious community, every monastery, every sanctuary in Europe host a family. Switching gears a little bit, one of the speakers that I heard at the Chautauqua Institution this past summer was Phil Zuckerman, a sociologist who has studied and written extensively on the question of how and why religion is on such a sharp decline in the United States and also in other first world nations, where people's lives are becoming increasingly more secular. In surveys asking people for their religious affiliation, the none category, N-O-N-E, is the fastest growing category. Zuckerman writes, "When people's lives are more secure, stable, when people have food, shelter, medicine, democracy, when life is less precarious, the need for religion goes down. When people's lives are more secure, the need for religion tends to go down." Hello? Aren't we missing something here? Who is not doing their job? Yes, I know we are living in the me generation, but I'm sorry, religion is not all about me. Yes, for sure, without a doubt, our faith, our religion, a faith community like this is in part about our very own personal need to face sadness, isolation, despair, unhappiness. But if we think for one minute that religion is primarily about making me and me alone happy, think again. Yes, of course, church going, like we are experiencing here today, is in part about our own personal need for comfort, for peace, for joy, for love, for comfort, for community. But as we will now hear from our scripture passages, religion, church going, and spirituality is about a whole lot more. I mean, a whole lot more. Take a listen as Diana reads three passages which point to a persistent, recurring theme throughout this book that we call God's Word.
"For if you truly amend your ways and your doings, if you truly act justly with one another, if you do not oppress the alien, the orphan, and the widow, or shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not go after other gods to your own hurt, then I will dwell with you in this place, in the land that I gave of old to your ancestors forever and ever." As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another And if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. May God bless our understanding of this reading.
Well, here we are for another homecoming Sunday, when, as I look back on my 13th, yep, you heard it, lucky number 13th year here at First Church, there have been some memorable, at least for me, homecoming Sundays. As you've heard, already heard from Brian, last year was rather memorable. And I don't know if you said this, Brian, I took not one, not two, not three, but four ice buckets. This was the last of the four. And it was all about challenging this congregation to share God's awesome love even more than it already does. And given how you all responded with a truly amazing stewardship response, surpassing $716,000 in pledges, and then over $20,000 to enable our church school children to help hungry and sick children in Mexico, I really should be taking a few more buckets this morning. Anything for a great cause, namely that great and joy-filled cause of sharing God's love with the world, with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. For each of us here to be challenged to give of our time, our talent, and yes, our treasure, to help this truly amazing and awesome family of faith to grow even stronger. This work that we begin anew each year on this homecoming Sunday is, of course, very important, very serious, and incredibly meaningful. But we have had some fun on these homecoming Sundays as well. And so for a minute or two, I'd like to go down memory lane with you and relive some of those memorable, fun, and yes, some serious homecoming moments. And let's begin with the fun. And so let's return to last year. The story is not told yet completely, Brian, on this. You are seriously mistaken if you think serving as stewardship chair gets you off the hook. You recognize this suit? You all saw that in the picture? Same suit, same tie. You don't want to know what best cleaners charge me to get the bloodstains all off this suit and this tie. After the service, Brian, it's here. Now, there are certainly many of you here this morning that remember another homecoming moment when it was one of my early homecoming Sundays here, when I stood up in this very pulpit with a boxing glove size cast and bandage around my left hand and a Al Pacino bloodied Scarface. Some of you who were here for that one? Yeah. So just to bring you who've not been here and heard the story, for those new to the church, this mess of a hand and a face was all the result of a rather nasty bicycle accident I had in the northern woods of Minnesota. I was visiting my sister and cardiologist brother-in-law, Jim, Dorothy and Jim, and they happened to be sitting here in the congregation today. Well, I was visiting their Boundary Waters cabin, and I had been out for an early 6 a.m. bike ride, when I was suddenly attacked by a pack of 10 wolves, 5 black bears, 10 coyotes, 2 bobcats, and 20 reindeer. Well, after that vicious animal attack, I was thrown off my bike, and before I knew it, my face, my shoulder, and my knees were mopping up the gravelly pavement. But to all of you boys and girls out there, a serious message, and to parents, everyone should wear bike helmets. So always, always, always wear your bike helmet, please. Well, then I picked up myself and biked down back to the cabin and made it down to the dock where Jim was having his early morning cup of coffee. And then with a oh-so-sympathetic bedside, or should I say bike-side manner, Jim took one look at my bloody face and said, "Oh, your heart is fine." He really didn't say that, but the line about the vicious animal attack make for a pretty good story. Well, the last homecoming memory that I will now share with you was the year that I really had Cindy Bates quite worried. I don't recall, Cindy, if you at that point were chair of the deacons, church clerk, or maybe even vice president. But after one particular homecoming sermon, Cindy gently took me aside and looked me straight in the eye and asked, with a smile, "You aren't becoming a Baptist preacher, are you?" Well, you might rightly ask, what prompted this question by Cindy? Well, I won't retell the whole story, but it is a story worth retelling, so apologize for those who have heard it. But here's what had Cindy so worried that homecoming Sunday. Tony Campolo, an internationally known, self-confident preacher, white Baptist preacher, thought he had preached the sermon of his life at a largely African-American revival and preaching competition on a hot summer night in downtown Philadelphia. Well, as Campolo sat down beside a distinguished and greatly revered African-American minister, Tony patted him on the knee and said, "Top that, my friend." Well, the old back pastor got up, looked back at Campolo, and said quite calmly, "Boy, sit back and watch the master." And for the next hour, that's what that black preacher was. He was the master. Some of you may recall that that sermon given by that African-American preacher was built around the simple words, "It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming." It really was a simple sermon, starting softly, but then building in volume and intensity until the entire congregation was completely involved, and it went something like this. "It's Friday. Jesus is beaten, mocked, and spit upon, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are hiding, and Peter is denying that he knows the Lord, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday. Jesus has been crucified and is dead as a tree, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday. Mary's eyes are crying. The disciples are running in every direction like sheep without a shepherd, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday. Some people look at the world and say, you can't change nothing. They just don't know that it's only Friday and Sunday's coming. It's Friday, and them forces that oppress the poor and keep people down, them forces that destroy people, that make people lost and homeless, forgotten and in despair, they just don't know that it's only Friday and Sunday's coming. It's Friday, and some people are saying, darkness is going to rule this world and sadness is going to be everywhere. They just don't know it's only Friday and Sunday's coming." Then the preacher yelled out, "It's Friday." And what did they respond?
"It's
Friday.
It's Friday.
It's Friday.
It's Friday.
Friends, I believe in every fiber of my being that this beloved congregation that we call First Church truly understands that at times it does feel like it's Friday in our own lives and in the world outside. but we also know that Sunday's coming. I believe this family of faith truly understands and lives out the words of Pope Francis, namely that the gospel calls us. The gospel asks us to be near the littlest and the abandoned. And yes, this family of faith, this beloved congregation, of course knows that church going helps us in our own time of need and despair. Church going can bring us comfort and peace and joy and love and community in our own lives. But I also believe that this congregation knows that religion and church going is about a whole lot more. In the words we heard of the prophet Jeremiah, if you truly act justly with one another, if you do not oppress the alien, the orphan, or the widowed, then I will dwell with you in this place, in the land that I gave of old to your ancestors forever and ever. I believe this family of faith knows well and lives well the words of the Apostle Paul. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion and with kindness. And finally, I believe with all my heart that this family of faith truly understands these words at the heart of the gospel. When was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? When was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. So how do I know all this about you, about this family of faith? How do I know that kindness, compassion, and love are at the heart of this congregation? And how do I know that this family of faith understands that it's often Friday in our lives and Friday in our world, but by our lives and by our awesome love, we boldly proclaim that Sunday's coming?